and welcome to another episode of the Wet Sox Snowscape Podcast. I am Eric Frick here with Andrew Nelson from our six-figure studio here in Minneapolis and live on the line via Skype, one of my favorite humans and one of the nicest guys on the planet, Phil Moreau. Phil, how are you doing tonight, bud?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Doing well. Doing well. You staying warmer than we are here in Minneapolis?
It's pretty cold out tonight. And by the way, thanks for that intro. Super awesome intro.
Oh, of course, Phil. Of course.
Yeah, pretty cold out. And it's been raining a lot, but now it's getting back to cold and wetter.
Cool. Cool. Been getting a lot of tricks this winter, Phil?
I've got a couple clips earlier, and then I got my daughter born on December 30. So I've been taking it easy since then, since like a month and a half. But
very understandable, Phil. Congratulations,
yeah.
By the way.
Yeah, congrats.
Thanks, man. It's been such an awesome and intense adventure.
You warned us earlier, and maybe we'll have to warn the listeners that we might have to take a diaper break. Is that the case we're dealing with here today?
That is possible. We might have to stop it for a while, like pause this, and if something happens, actually. But I hope everything will go fine. It just sometimes it goes crazy. Like you try to change the diaper and she pees all over. She pukes on her pajamas and you don't have enough hands to just do all the stuff.
Right.
Like 1%. So we need to be the two of us like holding her, like wiping her back and everything and changing her.
Yeah. Sounds like a full-time job and then some. But congratulations, Phil.
I have my cell phone right next to me. If something happens, my girlfriend will just text me or call me, and I'll just have to pause it for a couple minutes and be back to continue.
Yeah, absolutely. No problem. And we'll definitely get into some more of that later, but let's jump back a little bit. Let's talk about how you got involved in snow skating.
It started, what year? It's probably was around 2003, like give or take a year. I remember I asked for a snow skate for Christmas, and I got one that year. And also, there was a snow skate park at the ski resort, like a few minutes away from my house.
And this was a dedicated snow skate park at the ski resort in the early 2000s.
At the bottom of the hill, there was like a few obstacle, like a few ride-on boxes and rails. And I don't know like who made this, why this was there. I think it was sponsored by Premier Snow Skate. Okay. Something. I've seen some banners, and I can't recall like who made this, but it was there. So we would go there sometimes to just ride the park, and you could actually rent some Premier snow skates, and they were the ones that were the bi-deck, and you could take the trucks off and ride the top layer as a single deck. Yeah, they were wood boards, I think so.
The two-in-one snow skates, yeah.
So maybe you guys know what year these were made, and that could help me out, but
2003
maybe, like, yeah.
Were you snowboarding at that time too?
Oh yeah, I was like snowboarding since I was 8 years old.
Okay.
Like at that ski place, and it's actually like my parents live on that small mountain but on the other side of the slopes. So we could just take a path in the forest, like walk for maybe 10 minutes and be on top of the mountain. So we would just
that's super cool.
Walking there, snowboard all day, like all weekend, all nights. And and then we discovered snow skating. I was probably like 12, around that age.
Were you doing like tricks on your snowboard yet, like rails and boxes and stuff yet?
Yeah, on snowboarding, I always like mess up in the park, like nothing too crazy, never like really did any contests or... But definitely hit the parks like every day.
So snow skating like appealed to you. Were you skateboarding at that time?
Yeah, I started skateboarding at, I was 11 and snow skating came after. So I might have been like 12 or 13 actually.
Okay.
Sorry for messing up all the years. I probably will mess up a few things, but it was around like this period, you know?
Sure.
So yeah, I snowboarded first and then skateboarded and then discovered snow skating. And one thing that really got me into snow skating too was I think that one day at the snow skate park at the ski place, they made like a snow skate demo where you could like try out the Premier snow skate for free.
Okay.
and they were giving those Snowskate videos, the tapes. It's the one that it plays in loops. I think it's called The Next Step.
Mm-hmm. That would have been the first premiere video.
It was the VHS tape that plays like so many times in loop. It's like an 8-minute video about that. So yeah, so I got that for free at the ski place and just watched that over and over like at home. So that was a bit of the start for me back there. And I remember making videos with friends from high school. Our first video was like two or three of our friends just filming with those digital photo camera, like the really first ones.
Oh yeah, like, yeah,
probably 3 megapixel or I don't know how it was, but super pixelated. And we made a small video called The Brown Project, which I lost. I don't know where it went. It's lost somewhere in the abyss of the internets.
But, was this on the Premier Snowskate forum?
I don't think so, because it was early, like really early in my snowskating life.
Okay.
And I don't think I knew about the forum until I met Rico like a few years later. But yeah, we'll get into that. So that video we made, The Brown Project, was just us doing some ride on rails in my backyard or my friend's backyard.
Okay.
So that was The Brown Project, our first snowskate video. Another big, how can I say this, big point in my snowskating life was when I made a video of me like just riding for fun in my backyard, like down the 4 stairs at my parents' place, like doing some kickflips or shove-its and stuff. Mm-hmm. So I put that video online on a site called mediaputfile.com, I think. It was back in the day where YouTube, maybe it existed, but if it did, it wasn't like the biggest media place.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah, so it was mediaputfile, duh.
Yeah. Like, I remember like trying to find a way to put my video online. Probably to put it on the forum, I'm not sure.
Mm-hmm.
And so I found this website, mediaputfile, and I put it there. And Rico Desjardins, who was on Premier Snowskate back in the days, happened to live about like 45 minutes away from my place. And he had been to that park before at the ski resort. So he saw my video and saw the park and like noticed it and thought like, hey, this guy lives not too far from me. Like maybe I should snowskate with him.
Mm-hmm.
So he reached out to me. I think it was on MSN back in the days.
Okay.
And then he told me about like, hey, maybe we should snowskate together. I don't live that far. And then he showed me his video. Like he sent me a link to his part. And it's the part where he starts by a skateboard line.
Oh,
maybe
yeah.
You guys have seen.
Yep.
And he does like a back three, like 360 flips and all that stuff. And I was like, holy crap. Like you can actually ollie onto a rail, like not ride on the rail. Like, wow. Like, so that really blew my mind. And I just went outside, like put my bucks in the driveway, like took off the ride on and like front boarded it, like I'll eat on. And I was like, oh, dang. I didn't know we could do that.
Yeah.
So I changed a lot of things after that. And by the way, I forgot to mention my first board that I got for Christmas was a Lamar snowskate. It was, one that was super fat, like super thick.
Mm-hmm.
And tail and nose were like kind of a quarter pipe shape.
Yep.
Yeah.
So it was super hard to put your feet on top of it because it was so slippery. Like there was no grip on the tippy top of the tail.
The grip was more like implied.
Yeah. I was just riding this with huge boots and trying to put my feet on the tail, but it kept like sliding away, sliding off.
Mm.
But I managed a few like flip tricks that caught Rico attention.
Even on the board with like the 90 degree tails, you were still doing like flip tricks, or were you able to like kick flip and heel flip it?
Kick flip, yeah. I don't think I was doing heel flip, but I was doing some like ride on slides and like kick flips down little stairs.
Oh, cool.
So, like, what was next after? Do you start skating with like Rico? Did like what was going on?
He reached out to me, and I think he wanted to ride with me, and he came to my place that one year. So that was before Ambition existed. So okay. Maybe we were like 2005, I'd say, mm-hmm. like a few years after I started. I'm not sure about the exact year, but around that. So he came to my place with his buddy, and that was so awkward. Like, we had never met before. And Rico is not the kind of guy that like talks that much. Like, he's a shy like person.
Okay.
And so we just rode my backyard and my parents' place. And I remember that there was that picnic table. So he had the idea to just put it in the hill and make a little kicker up to it to ride a kicker to picnic table.
Okay.
So that blew my mind. I was like, wow, he's going to ollie up to that super high picnic table. Like, this guy's so good. So that was like super fun. We had a nice, fun afternoon. And he told me about the Quebecers video.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. He filmed a few clips of us. And I remember my friend, who was a really good skateboarder, like, he snow skated a little bit too. He did a heel flip indie off a kicker.
Oh, wow.
And Rico was like, oh my God, this is going in the next Quebecers video. And we were so hyped. But it ended up, I don't think there was another Quebecers video after that. Like, maybe Cibon was in the making or already done. I'm not sure. But it never made its way to Quebecers video.
Gotcha.
So, yeah, he told me about those videos. And then I started watching them. And I don't know, I got a lot of inspiration from these guys. Robbie Gobet and mm-hmm. Max BT, for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely.
Dude, Max BT, the style and the selection of tricks.
Oh, yeah,
that was one of my main inspiration back then.
Mm-hmm. So you're starting to ride with like these legendary Quebecers. Do you have like visions of getting on? I guess it would be Premiere at that time. Are you starting to like film videos and try to get sponsored at this point?
It never was like my idea of getting sponsored. It was like mainly just for fun.
Okay.
Because like I grew up in this small town called Tinwick. It's in the middle of like Quebec.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no indoor park at all back in the days. Look, I had to drive like almost 2 hours to the next indoor park,
okay.
skate park. So I was just, you know, riding a snow skate in my backyard. That's how I was spending all my energy as a teenager.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just making videos like with a tripod for fun. It was not trying to get sponsored, but of course, like there's that thought behind your head. Like, you always like, it's the dream of every kid, right?
Right. Right.
Were you building ramps or anything like that?
Yeah, mostly kickers. Like, I had a flat bar that I still have these days and I like to ride, my favorite flat bar from when I grew up. It was mostly just random homemade obstacles like bucks and kickers.
Sure, sure.
And I didn't really ride that much with Rico and the Quebecers guys. Like, Rico was the closest one, and he was 45 minutes, I'd say,
okay.
away. And I didn't have a car when
I
started.
That's tough when you can't drive or don't have a license, yeah.
Yeah, my older brother had one, so I think one or twice we drove up to Rico's place and rode his infamous backyard,
yep.
his little buck there at the farm. So we had fun with him, but like I was mostly riding with friends from home.
Sure, gotcha.
My brothers.
Gotcha.
Do any of those guys still snow skate, or do you?
Sometimes, like for fun, they'll jump on the board, but not that much. They used to ride more, yeah.
Right.
They all, like, I have three brothers, and they all snowboard, skateboard, or used to skate and snow skate.
Are you the middle or like the youngest?
I'm the second.
Oh, okay.
Of four.
Oh, okay.
After Rico, like, he told me that you could ollie on to something instead of riding on, and he also told me that a wood snow skate would work much better.
Yes, it would.
Much better than my plastic Lamar snow skate. So that next year after I met him, my brother and I bought a Premiere snow skate. We ordered it online, and it was kind of expensive. And I remember when it got here, there was like a $90 duty, like import fees.
Oh, wow.
Extra fee. It was so expensive. And it worked pretty good, though, actually, for back in the days. I was super impressed. So that was the year before Ambition made their first board. So was it like 2007?
I think so, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Around this, 2006 or 7.
Mm-hmm.
So I got that board, and I tried it out, and I could heel flip. I'm like, oh, my God, it works. It works like way better now. Because I had those like flip on skateboards, so I was just trying to take my tricks from the skateboard and do them in the winter.
Right. And when you have a tail that's not 90 degrees in plastic, yeah. I imagine it's a bit easier.
Yep. And it actually slides so much more than that plastic, like that old board.
Right.
So in these years, like the first, I'd say 5 years of snow skating, that was just me riding in my backyard sometime with friends. And filming, like each year I would make a video part, if I can call that, or like just a video,
mm-hmm.
mostly tripod and backyard stuff, just
right.
for fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I got introduced to the forum, but it was the late, like the Premier forum, like in the end of its days.
Mm-hmm.
And after, I think it transferred to the Ambition forum.
Right.
That I had been a little bit active, if I can remember.
Yep, definitely. So when the Ambition boards came out, were you skating with any of the Ambition guys, or still in your small town of where you were in Quebec?
The first year of Ambition, I was still in my small town in Quebec, not skating with these guys. But I think Alex in Sherbrooke, Alex the owner of Ambition, organized like a snow skate event or demo or contest. I can't really recall what it was exactly, but my friend and I drove to Sherbrooke, which is an hour away. And we met Alex once there, and maybe other dudes. I think Josh Seguin was there, and Guillaume Blais, Alex's cousin, which mm-hmm. is on the team now. And so that was the first, or before, yeah, that was the first year of Ambition, and I bought a board that my brother got for me because he was living in Sherbrooke. So he went and got it from Alex. I might have been in contact with Alex on MSN. Probably Rico gave me his address or something. So I bought a board from him the first year Ambition started making board.
Okay.
Then they were fast, like compared to the old Premier.
Oh, those first round of Ambitions were lightning fast with the tiny grooves.
Yeah, it was like always improving, like from the plastic board to the Premier board to the Ambition. Like
mm-hmm.
the bays like kept improving.
Right.
So that was 2007, 2008?
Mm-hmm.
If I'm right?
I believe so, yep.
Okay, so yeah, we got my brother and I got a board from Alex, and I made some other videos. I was talking with Alex on MSN, and that's pretty much it. Like, I didn't really know him until I moved to Sherbrooke in 2009.
Okay.
I moved to Sherbrooke to go to school there, and my girlfriend and brother were already there, so that was the logical thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
So I entered university in business administration in Sherbrooke, and the funny thing that happened is I knew Alex was going to that university too, but because I had met him once or twice before.
Okay.
But not more than that. And then my first accounting class, who shows up? Alex in my class. So he sat next to me, and we started drawing like snow skate prototypes like crazy, like goofing around, like actually just making boards with the most like advanced feature you could imagine, like heated pad for your feet, and, like, to get more speeds, and like wings that would pop off like as you do your ollie so you can fly, and like just like goofing around all class long.
So
like,
you guys didn't learn very much in that class?
We had pretty good grades actually.
And those products, yeah, so I'm sure are still in development, man. Ambitious.
Yeah, yeah. I can't say much about it. So we became really good friends and started snow skating with all the Sherbrooke crew, actually.
Mm-hmm.
So that was 2009. Oh, yeah, that one thing. So 2009, I moved to Sherbrooke. And actually, my first choice of a university was Trois-Rivières, another city like up north. And for some reason, like my girlfriend went to Sherbrooke and my brother was there, so I decided to go to Sherbrooke. And wow, I'm so glad that happened that way.
Totally.
So, I had to live in that snow skate city for like 5, 6 or 7 years. So life changed.
Yeah,
life changer right there.
And your snow skating around this time was getting really good too. I mean, like the homie parts that you put on YouTube, your 08, 09 and 09, 10 footage were really, really good. And I was asking myself as I came across them, I was like, why is this guy not an ambition? Like, he's skating with all the guys, is skating super good, you know? So
and before that, I think probably like a year or two before I moved to Sherbrooke, I made a video. I almost forgot about that. But Zach talked about it in his interview. It's what's called One More Try.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
You guys remember that?
Yep.
That was just some guy from Sweden or Norway. I don't know. He reached out to me and he told me, like, hey, we're doing this video with a bunch of people around the world. Like, would you like to be in our video? And I was like, sure. So, he said, like, send me your footy and I'll edit your part. And I was like, oh, can I edit my part? Because I had edited all my part before all my videos, and I like to do that. So, and I think I already started with, it was The Killer song.
Okay.
I don't know which one, but a song from The Killer. And then I sent the draft that I had to him. And it was like, oh shit, it's so good now. Like, you have to do the editing. Like, that song fits so well. And, like, you just do it and send me the final part. I'm like, cool. So I made this video before moving to Sherbrooke. And then I moved. And funny things that happened too is, so I moved in fall of 2009. And we randomly picked an apartment because we didn't know that much like about the city. So we picked an apartment in the area where we wanted to live, and I saw a little 13-year-old boy skating in the street. So I was like, oh, I was 19 at the time, so I was like, I'll go like talk to this little guy and see what he's up to, like. And it was this little Xiao Zion, Chucky D from the audition team at the moment, that happened to live in the same apartment, just like the floor above me or below me.
Wow.
So, and then I talked to him about snow skating later on, and he was like, yeah, I got one. It's this this guy named Charlo, like COSD, that gave it to me. I'm like, oh shit, you know him. I'm like, nice. So we started like becoming friends and skating and snow skating with each other, and I would always like give him a ride to the spots or wherever we were going. That was super easy because he was like just living downstairs. I would just walk downstairs, knock at his door, like, hey, you ready? Like, no, I'll come back in 5 minutes.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool. Man, it is a really good thing you went to Sherbrooke. I mean, that seemed like probably like the biggest snow skate community of that time. Like, all of the figures like together in one place, skating and whatnot.
Yeah, a lot of happened in that city. And that's obviously where Alex is from and where he lives. So, part like it's probably because of that. And so I'm after like moving to Sherbrooke, I started, that's when I started writing with Charlo, Chuck and Alex and all of the Sherbrooke crew. And but I didn't know them that much at first. And I remember Alex one day invited me at his place. I think he needed help because he was building the ambition boards in his like parents' shed or garage back in the days.
Okay.
So I think he needed help with the board. So he was like, do you want to come and help for a day? I'm like, sure. So I went to his place and he showed me, like, before everyone else, the True Color video that he was about to release. Dude. So I had never seen anything like that before. Of course, like the ambition. Promo before, I think, like 2009 promo or stuff like that. It was like such a good video, and the Quebecer were like awesome too. But then he showed me this and I'm like, holy crap, like this is serious,
right?
I was super hyped. Like, he showed me this like in his room, like before everyone else seen it. Mm-hmm. And then we made boards in the in his shed for the whole afternoon. So that must have been 2009. Like, when did True Color was released?
Fall of 2009 is when mm-hmm. it came out.
Okay, so that's when I met him, like fall of 2009.
Okay.
That makes sense. All right. We're not too much off the track here. So I started writing with them, and I think that winter or maybe the winter after, some people from the Ambition team came to Sherbrooke, like Phil Smaggi, Alan, Bjorn,
mm-hmm.
Logan, who was filming for the documentary.
Mm-hmm.
So I met these guys there that first year, but I was still like, you know, a kid just having fun, and like there were buildings like crazy obstacle, like a huge Euro gap, like up a big three block with a bungee cord, like
yeah,
balls yep. to try their spots, you know.
That was at the classic Sherbrooke spot, right? The big three. Yep.
Yeah, the classic spot. We've been there so many times after that.
Looks like a great spot.
Yeah, it's one of those spots in Sherbrooke where, like, if I tell Alex I want to film a trick there, it'll just be, no, dude, like, find another yeah. spot. Like, we've been there too many times. Like, we've seen it in all our videos. Like, everything's been done. Like, just find something else. Yeah. Like, dude, it's so fun. And I remember, so I met them. Like, I was riding with them. I had a car at that time, so it was easier to just go to the spot and meet them. And
mm-hmm.
I was riding a lot of, like, night session with Charlo. Like, we were just building a kicker and doing some flip tricks, having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the year after that, Nick Stefani and Crowcroft came to Sherbrooke.
Okay.
I don't know if it was the year with the van. Like, they had a van with so many people in it. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I remember I was taking a bus every day to go to school, and coming back on my bus, like on the bus ride, I looked out the window, and I saw like some snow skaters with some basketball tank top, like weird outfit, but like I could recognize from far away that was Nick Stefani.
Yeah. Yep.
Which, by the way, was one of the, like, my best inspiration in snow skating too. Like, I'd say Max Beatty and Nick Stefani were back in the days like the best inspiration. Mm-hmm. Best dudes.
His yeah. snow skate so, alien parts is still one of my favorite parts. So good.
Yeah. Alien, like the best parts.
And mm-hmm. they honestly push the limits of fashion. So I think
yeah, like you still watch there. Them today, and they're super good. Like True Color, like most of the stuff, you know, from Nick, Alan, Phil, you could watch it today and it will be super actual, like to the level of writing.
For sure.
So I remember that one time I saw them on, like, on the bus. And I was, like, not that far from home, like, probably a 10-minute walk from home. So as soon as I got home, I'm like, dude, I'm going to go meet these guys, because I didn't have a cell phone, so I couldn't call them or they couldn't reach me out.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, as soon as I got home, like, took my board and walked there, and they were gone. I'm like, oh, dang it. But I guess I met them or like later that week, or I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Because you ended up getting tricks in Snow Skate Aliens. That was your first part. Or at least a section in an Ambition video, correct?
Yeah, correct. I had a kickflip down a drop there that Nick Stefani filmed.
Mm-hmm.
Was that it's the only trick I can recall in Alien. Maybe, Eric, you know more than me, because I know you know everything about snow skating.
No, I think that was the only trick, yeah.
Yeah, so that was the trick. And then that was when I landed, I yelled something like, "Hi, I'm Phil Moreau, and I like to snow skate." And there's a cool story about that. Obviously, you know. But so that thing was, I don't know if you can remember that actually, but Josh Chagain, like, said that in one of the older videos. I can't remember which one it was, but he said something like, "Hi, I'm Josh Chagain, and I like to snow skate." So that was just me, like, you know, like, mimic him, like Josh, and like just saying that for fun.
Yeah, I think it went back even farther too, because in a premiere video, Colin Sproul said that at the beginning of one of his parts.
Yes, I heard about. I was unaware of that at the time, but yeah, I heard about this. So I said that, and it ended up in the video. And like years after that, I don't know how, but on YouTube, I found a random kid, probably in the United States, saying like, "Hi, I'm Phil Moreau, and I like to snow skate." And I was, that's it. That's the online, like, the video on YouTube. He uploaded this, put it on YouTube, playing Wii Ski, or I don't know, Wii Remote, I think. So I'm like, what? Like, some kids like from super far away saw that and like made this video. Like, that's funny. Like, who is this? Like, and then years later, I found out this is actually you, Mr. Eric. That was so funny. Like, I don't know how it happened, but yeah.
Oh, we watched those videos so much back in the day that we would just like constantly quote the videos. And that was actually my friend Tanner, who he snow skated a little bit, but he wasn't as into it as, you know, me or some of my other friends. But yeah, we were just messing around playing Wii one night, and I thought it'd be funny to upload that. And for whatever reason, just kept it up. And I even thought about it later. I was like, man, if Phil sees this, like, if I were in his shoes, I'd be a little bit bugged out. Like, that's kind of weird. Like, it's kind of an obscure quote, you know?
I didn't know, like you could think of that on your side of it.
The video's still up, though. I watched it today. I hadn't watched it in years.
No, I'm gonna go watch this right after it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was super funny. So, that trick, should we go back to the story?
Yeah.
So that kickflip down the drop in Sherbrooke was in 2010 maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Because that ended up in a second Ambition video. I already forgot the name.
Aliens.
Yeah. Okay. And Nick Stefani was filming it, so I was super hyped to like being filmed by these guys, mm-hmm, and riding with them. That was the only trick that I got, and I kept riding with Alex and all the boys, and that was honestly like just for fun. Like, I never thought of like being sponsored.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew like these guys, like I'd seen the videos, like they're gnarly, they're doing like crazy tricks, like. And then I ended up having a few tricks in Skrill Clinton.
Yep.
So that wasn't like my first, I can't say a part, but like a segment in the video.
Mm-hmm.
And it's all tricks filmed in Sherbrooke. And after that video got released, I think I was in the car with Alex, probably going to a spot, or I don't know what we were doing, but he just asked me, like, hey, like, you got some really nice clip in Skrill Clinton. Would you like to ride for Ambition?
Mm.
I'm like, sure. I don't see why I can say no.
Yeah. Well, I mean, when you do nollie laser flips as good as you do them, what is he going to do? Not put you on the team?
I don't think I've done any like good laser flips after that. I had one in another video, but dude, that laser flip, I'm still super stoked on it.
Well, the one in Safari Time too, off of that block in Detroit, that one was super good.
Thanks. I still think the one in Skrill Clinton was a little bit better.
Both very good, Phil. Both very good.
Yeah, thanks. And before that, before riding for Ambition, Alex was making me deals on board because we became like really good friends, and I was always riding with them.
Right.
Before that, so I had like boards for cheap, riding with them,
mm-hmm,
and ended up having tricks, and that's how it happened. One day, he just asked me like, "Would you like to ride for Ambition?" Of course.
Yeah. There you go.
Yep. And it's been about 10 years now.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, it's been such a long time. Oh. Getting old.
Yeah. At the beginning of the following season for Safari Time, that's the winter that you drove with Blade to Western Canada just to snow skate, right? Before the Eastern Canada had snow?
Yeah. So that was such a, like, really short notice trip. So it was November, and so we were riding the skate park in Canada and Quebec. It was pretty warm that day, and I was with Chuck and Alex at the park, and I think Alex just told us like, hey, Austin has so much snow in because Austin Welter lives in Saskatchewan with Mitch Serbu.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were both on Ambition back in the days.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they sent us the photos of like the snowfall they had or something like that. And Alex was telling us like, dude, they have so much snow. And one of us just said for fun, like, dude, we should go. And then we all looked at each other and like, dude, why not? Like, we should really go. Like, would you? I'm like, sure. Would you? Yeah. dude, let's go. So I was at school, so it was super easy to just skip class and go.
Mm-hmm.
And Chuck was still pretty young back in the days. I'd say he was 15, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to drive. Well, we drove by the United States to make it faster.
Mm-hmm.
So we had to have a letter from his parents to like cross the borders with him.
Wow, I didn't even know that Chuck went with you guys. I thought it was just you and Blay on the trip.
No, if you watched, there's a video about this trip on probably on the Ambition channel. I don't know what it's called. It must be like a Regina Ambition snowskate trip or something.
Mm, okay.
And yeah, that was me, Chuck, and Alex riding with Mitch and Austin. By the way, we were hosted like kings there. Like, it was so much
That's
fun.
Cool.
Like, living at Austin's like place with his family, brothers.
Right.
Dude, it was so like so much fun. So the drive there actually was not that fun at all.
so you crossed the border. How
it's
is
just
it
the fastest way.
Yeah, I'm a little confused about that. You dropped down through like...
I think it's Detroit to Chicago to Minneapolis up through North Dakota, right?
I think that time we drove like northern Ontario and then like crossed at the Sault Ste. Marie.
Oh, that's okay. Right. Yeah, so you would have gone through Duluth.
Yeah, I think we did, because I remember Alex was telling me, like, hey, this guy lives here, this guy lives there, and then we probably, like, crossed, like, all the UP place where Jeremy and Zach lives.
Yeah.
And then probably Duluth, and I don't know what else, but then North Dakota, and then up north to Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
So that drive took us 36 hours, and we made it straight, like, one shot. The longest stop we made was 20 minutes to get, like, Subway and gas, I guess.
That's crazy.
Dude, it was so painful, and like we didn't sleep at all. Oh, I remember me and Alex were the only ones who could drive, so we were just driving every like 3 to 4 hours. So we couldn't like sleep very well. Well, I think we didn't sleep at all on the driver's seat, and Chuck was on the back seat with all the luggage, because we had Alex... Yaris, like a hatchback Yaris, like no trunk, super small car, like with all the boards and bags and camera and stuff. And Chuck was like, he kept complaining about how uncomfortable he was back there. And we were like, dude, you can at least like put your head something. Like, we're stuck in the passenger seat, like up here. How can you sleep? Like, we couldn't even lower our seat, you know, like trying to make it a little more bent. So Chuck kept complaining, and then at the very end of the trip, they're like, dude, let's switch. Like, go up front. It sucks up front, too. And then it was so much better back there. Like, dude, we could have slept the whole way, because you could, like, rest your head on the bags and stuff. And then we almost, like, that's the word I came up with. We almost lost Chuck on the way there, but, like, psychologically lost him, because the ride was so long, and he was alone in the back. He couldn't, like, really talk to us that much, because like he couldn't hear what we were saying.
Mm.
You know, when you're on the highway and like music like turned up, and so at one point he was just like not answering at all when we were talking to him. He was just staring by the window for like hours, not talking, not making any sound, not moving. Like, Chuck, like, come on, it's gonna be fun. Like, we're having fun. Like, it's a trip with the boys. Like, come on. For like hours he just didn't move. Like, super, dude, like, round eyes staring at the window, like, dead from the inside. And, funny thing, too, the whole trip, like, it was snowing in Quebec when we left.
Mm-hmm.
I think we had some gnarly, like, snowstorm in Ontario for the first part. But then, for, like, 20-plus hours of drive, maybe more, there was no snow at all.
Mm.
The whole trip. Like, it was like driving on concrete with fields with grass. And so we were like, dang, there better be snow there, because it's such a long drive and it sucks.
Right.
So there was no snow like in the UP of Michigan, no snow in Duluth, no snow in North Dakota. We were like, dude. And then we crossed the border. They were super like suspicious. Like, why did you guys drove through the U.S. if you wanted to go to Canada? You're like, it's the fastest like route. Like, you should have stayed in Canada. Like, that's where you're going. You're like, yeah, but the GPS told us to go here. So yeah, they were super suspicious. And also we were saying like, we're going to snow skate. And they were like, good luck. There is no snow here. I'm like, I know. It sucks. You don't need to tell me. So we drove up north from like the borders. I think we still had 3 hours to drive. And there was no snow for those almost 3 hours. And as soon as we entered the city, we started to see snow piles. And we were like, oh, yes, thanks. And then, yes, there was snow in the city. And we could ride for that week.
Nice.
And that week, too, left a mark on my body. I mean, I started having back pain from, I guess, all that driving and then... And then riding every day after that, like not stretching, like being super stiff. And I started like having little like pinch feeling in my back. I'm like, like something's wrong. Like I need to stretch or like take it off. But we were there for like just a few, like, I don't know, 6 days, just a few days. So obviously we tried to take advantage of it and ride as much as we could.
Right.
And my back seemed like to do a little better after that, but like a month later, I woke up at home and like I could barely walk, and like I had like back pain like so much at a point that it was like super hard to just go to the toilet and like wipe my butt and do stuff like that. And it turned out it had I had a disc bulge. I think that's what it's called. So it's like, you know what a herniated disc is?
Yeah.
Dave talked about it in his interview on the Snow Skate Source. So it's kind of, I think it's the step before that.
Okay.
Like the disc like is compressed and it pressed on the nerves next to it. So that like that caused so much pain. And I had, I think, midterms or like final exam that week, and I had to take the bus, and every bumps were like so painful. And since that trip in Regina, I had that back problem. And I did a lot of chiro practor sessions and scans, and it got better, but every now and then it just back pain comes back, and I have to take it easy for a few days. And
sure.
So yeah, every trip I made, probably like I came back with some little souvenirs on my body.
You still able to stack some footage on that trip though. I know you had a couple tricks out there in your Safari Time part, including your ender, the board slide to nollie heel out.
Yeah, I think my back went better after a couple days of trying not to skate impacts.
Okay.
And yeah, ended up doing this board slide nollie heel. Thanks, man. It was I think it was a struggle. I tried it for a really long time.
I imagine that one wouldn't come very quick. But is this the same trip in time that Blay was making fun of your outfit too?
I guess. It wasn't this, not the... like this specific trip, but in this time probably, because you could see in my parts, in my Safari Time parts, I ride with this green coat, and sometimes like in a Skrill Clinton too, like you could see brown pants from the thrift store, like a blue hat probably from the thrift store too, some brown shoes, green coat, whatever I could just find and wear. It was, you know, comfortable. I didn't really think of the outfit at all back in the days. I would just go with what I had. And I remember Alex one time telling me, like, Phil, like, your green coat, it's like his time has passed, man. Like, he should get another coat. Like, and I didn't understand at the moment. I was like, what do you mean? Like, it's perfectly fine. Like, it works. And he was like, dude, I'll buy you another coat. And like, dude, you don't need to. Like, this coat is totally fine. Like, so he didn't buy me a coat. But later on, I realized that, you know, when you're filming a video, it's a whole visual thing that you're watching. Like, it needs to look good. And if this guy is dressed like a goofy clown, like, I mean, to me, it's not that interesting when this guy, when the guy just looks weird. So, like, starting, I don't know, probably in a Let's Play and after all the videos after, I start wearing mostly like black and like black hat, black coat, and black shoes and black pants, and so that's just easy.
Well, this is not good news. I just bought a green coat for myself for this winter for filming. I might have to switch it up already.
I'm sorry to tell you that, but yeah, you might have. I'm kidding. But according to Alex Lay, maybe you have to.
Yeah.
Yeah, bring it back.
So, yeah, I guess he wasn't making fun of me, but just, like, he was filming. Like, he was making a video. Like, he just told me, like, that doesn't, like, really look good.
Right, right.
Yeah, so that was 2000. What year? You have to help me out there.
That video came out 2012, so that must have been 2010, 2011.
Yeah,
or, that makes, no, it would have been
2011 was the end of 2010 was the Regina, Saskatchewan trip.
Okay.
So yeah, I'm not sure I can remember.
Yeah, because then, you'd film 10, 11, and then 11 would be the 2012 video, if you will, which was Safari Time. Okay.
It's pretty confusing for me right now, but
with the years overlapping, it's confusing, you know?
Yeah, so Safari Time was my first year, like, filming on, like, for the Ambition, like, team that I was sponsored. Because before that, it was just me riding with the boys, like, for fun, and then after that it was like, all right, let's film a part.
Mm-hmm. That was a great part, by the way, especially like the song choice, like the
I found it on a playlist on a I don't know, online, like, indie rock playlist, and so at that time too I started, like, hanging out with Alex more and more and being involved with Ambition, and I was helping him, like, finding songs or names for the video. So I think I came out with Safari Time and Let's Play and a few of the, like, names and songs back in the days.
Okay. So you ended up getting first part in Let's Play the following winter, right?
Yep, that's correct.
Yeah, that's a big honor for an Ambition video.
Thanks, man. I was pretty hyped. I was not expecting at all to have the first part, and I think it was before the intro, too. That was the time where, like, skate and snowboard videos were putting a part right before the intro. So you could just click the link and boom, like, tricks.
Right. Sexy end.
Yeah. So Alex thought that my part fit well to the, you know, start of the video, and I was super hyped about it.
Yeah, and it did. I mean, it was great footage, and that backside flip for your last part, I still don't think there's been a better backside flip done in snow skating. It was fantastic. The way that you, like, bone the flip and, like, caught it with your back foot, dude, so good. At the classic Sherbrooke spot too.
Oh yeah. And actually I did it on so, you know, there's a three block and there's like a six or seven stairs next to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we figured I should do it there because it doesn't look like the three block.
Right.
So it's just like a few feet away. So it kind of looks like a different spot because already this time Alex was tired of seeing tricks at that spot because it's been skated, like, so much.
Mm-hmm.
And that backside flip actually took me three session of trying it.
It's a hard trick.
Yeah, it took me forever. And that kickflip at first of the part, that was a hard trick for me because of the back pain that started these years. So, like, the chiropractor told me, like, your back is damaged and, like, there's no going back. Like, you could, you know, take it easy and or keep going and it might end up, like being a herniated disc.
Okay.
I'm like, dang, I have some decisions to make.
Mm-hmm.
And so I figured, like, I should, like, I really wanted that kickflip, so I'll just, like, do this quick and, like, no more impact. So I still, like, ride and like, gap sometimes, but I try to do it the least possible, if that makes sense.
Right. No, totally.
Yeah. And that backside flip you were talking about, I went there once, didn't get it because I guess it was too hard. I couldn't get it. So I went back a second time riding there with Rico and Alex. And I remember that time I got sick and I think I had diarrhea.
Oh,
diarrhea.
No.
I was like, oh, of course, like, I need to go home. Like, I didn't shit my pants or anything, but I was like, I was like, I need to go home or I will shit my pants. So I couldn't try it for that long and I just needed to go home. And I came back another time and finally got it.
That's a very valid excuse for not getting a trick, though.
It's a very specific reason to call off the session.
There's a lot of excuses in snow skating, but that's a good one of them.
Yeah.
Oh, that's good.
Not just an excuse. That was true, you know?
Yeah.
It's a different kind of slush, really.
Oh, no. So was it around this time that you started working for Ambition 2?
I think so. It was 2013, I think.
Okay.
So, yeah, it might have been around these times. So how it happened is, so Alex knew I was studying business administration at school.
Mm-hmm.
And I was doing these internship in Sherbrooke in this big accounting firm. And there was that one last internship that was 3 months long, I think, in the winter. And that last one, it was not mandatory. You didn't have to do it. Like most people did it because you were paid and was a well-paid job.
Mm-hmm.
But since I didn't have to do it, so I asked these guys, can I take that session off and maybe I wanted to travel a little bit, because I was when you work in that office with all these people that are not skaters, these business people,
mm-hmm.
I was just a skater kid. I could see that I did not belong there that much.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the job was okay, well paid, and I was seeing that I was going to that life of that's it. School is almost done. I'll have this job, 8 to 5.
Mm-hmm.
Dang. If I want to travel or do something, it's right now.
Right.
So I asked them to take that semester off to travel. So mm-hmm. I didn't have the time to plan that much, because I wanted to, I don't know, go somewhere south, Central America or whatever, for 3 months.
Mm-hmm.
And, during that time, so I asked them, they were all right, as soon as you come back later, fine. And during that time, Alex told me that he needs someone to help him run the business at Ambition.
Mm-hmm.
So he was my business is growing. There's a lot of accounting and stuff that to do. I don't like doing this. I don't really do it that much. So I need someone to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like to do to work for me? Wow, sure.
Yeah.
Screw that. Screw that traveling. This is an opportunity for me.
Right.
Work for a snow skate company.
Totally.
So, yeah, of course I said yes, and started working for him, creating all the accounting system, if I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, it's a really small business. It still is. So there's much more than accounting to do. It's working with clients and suppliers, and what I do is I ship all the boards that are sold online.
Mm-hmm.
So back in the days, all the online inventory was Alex's place. So I would go to his place, ship the boards, make all the invoices, and do some accounting.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're all at my place. I have my office at home, and I still do it from home.
Okay,
which is the most awesome job.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So that's how I started working for Ambition. It just one day, I think we were in a hot tub at a friend's, and we're like, I got something to tell you.
So you can tell us how much everyone makes and how many boards you guys sell. You're going to tell us all that information on the air, right?
All that sensitive information is going public right now.
Yeah.
It's exclusive, right?
Cover your ears, Mr. Blay, please.
No, but obviously, I ended up doing so many various tasks, from helping developing the boards, the graphics, and everything a small company needs to do, organizing events. There's a bunch of events with the board shop all in Quebec, all over. So it's just super various tasks.
Sure.
Super fun. It's never the same. Every day is different.
Right, right.
So I worked for him all winter, from probably October to March every winter, since I'd say 5 years now.
Okay.
And the rest of the year I have a family business. It's a sugar shack. It was my parents' business, and my brothers and I, we bought it and we took it over.
Gotcha.
So the rest of the year it keeps us busy making maple syrup and taking care of all the equipments in the forest.
Yeah, for sure. That's so cool, Phil. And that's where That's where you filmed the most recent Sugar Shack part.
Exactly, because I moved back 3 years ago, I think, to my hometown in Tunwick, and I figured I would just ride there at the shack on my land in the forest.
Yeah, sounds like a pretty sweet life.
Oh yeah, it is. Things are going super good, and you know, it's a really small town. So that's one thing too, that Sugar Shack part. Since I moved back here, I figured it would be harder for me to film like a street part, because right. It's an hour away from Sherbrooke where Alex mm-hmm. lives. There's not that much people who snow skate like seriously here. I have a bunch of friends that have boards and like they ride like once in a while, but like, you know, they don't go film the part.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we don't have all the cameras and stuff now. Because mm-hmm. nowadays, you need crazy HD, super expensive stuff.
Right.
So I figured I should just, you know, film a part in the forest at home. Alex would come here like a few times a week. We'll just go there. And I actually bought a new camera and a fisheye that I sold after that winter.
Okay.
Just to film that with a friend when Alex couldn't come.
Mm-hmm.
It went pretty, like, we didn't have that much time to film it. It was filmed on 2 years. The first year was when I was riding the maple, the sugar, the can. Where's the...
One of my favorite snow skate graphics. So cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a good one.
So I was riding this board and like, I should do like something at the Sugar Shack, like a theme park or something.
Right.
And I talked to Alex about this and he was super hyped about the project. And we did one thing too. I've always been a fan of the VX like looks, like the VX1000, the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not a super big fan of the HD skate videos. Some mm-hmm. are really good, but I feel like there's something that is... I don't know. It's never been the same. Like the feel, the look is a little bit different.
Right.
So I was like, dang, I wish we could have an HD camera, like not dealing with all the tapes and the cold, but still have that 3:4 ratio.
Right.
Or 4:3. And so what we did is Alex put his fisheye like as wide as he could. So it would vignette a lot. And he did cut like both edges on the side. So it's not actually 4:3 and it's not 16:9. It's an in-between.
Oh, okay. Very
so
cool.
I didn't know that. It's still a little wider than 4:3. But that was the idea. Like, we'll make some super like action fisheye shots, like film from super close, and it'll be a little wider and everything.
Yeah, so that's really cool.
So why it didn't end up in the Solstice video.
Sure.
Because the format was different, and it was all backyard, too. It kind of felt like it was a different project.
Mm-hmm.
And that explains why I don't have that many tricks in the Solstice video.
Sure.
I think the first year, we didn't have that much snow here. And then we traveled a little bit in Michigan and got some tricks there.
Mm-hmm.
And then when we came back, we started filming in February for the Sugar Shack part.
Okay.
So we only got like maybe 4 or 5 sessions that first year.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next year, another 4 or 5 or 6 sessions at the shack, and that was it.
Okay. It's just so cool to see you exploring that side of skating, because I mean, snow skating roots are in this backyard sort of create your own park. And we've seen everything shift to street skating, which is important. And, you know, it's really fun to watch. It's, you know, high quality, but to see you bring it back to creating your own obstacles, and especially the tying in that you have with the Sugar Shack, is just such a cool idea. I'm really like, I'm happy to see some projects in snow skating going back that direction.
Thanks, man. And it's actually one of the idea there, because, you know, it was harder for me to just go to Sherbrooke and film a street part. So mm-hmm. I figured I should just ride in the forest at home. Mm-hmm. And that's what everybody like does. You know, when every kid's out there, like they don't have super HD, like expensive HD camera.
Right.
Go like, it's hard. You know, you have to go to spots at night sometimes carrying the Jenny, the lights and everything. So people, I guess, mostly just ride backyards with homemade boxes and stuff. So I guess it's more relatable.
Right.
And that's one side of the snow skate, like an ambition that is you know, it's kind of got lost in time, maybe. Mm-hmm. I think Bjorn talked about this in his forecast.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh, he said a word about this. Like, it started all backyard and all, like, plywoods and kickers, and now it's all streets and everything, which is really good. But that project was so fun. Dude, it's been so fun to just go there, mm-hmm. like, making a fire, having, like, a warm tea, like, just to warm us and
mm-hmm.
just having fun in the forest.
It's fun to watch, too, because you use a lot of your, like, Sugar Shack stuff. Like
yeah, like the maple cans, the barrels, and everything.
Yeah,
like I had so many ideas for that project. I just didn't have that much like time and not in the limited session we went there to film them all. But dude, like if I could film there every day, like there was just so much stuff to do with all the scrap woods and drop off the roof and barrels and tires and whatever you want.
Well, you have to put out a Sugar Shack Part 2 in that case.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I would. Yes. Well, actually, right now I'm trying to film some like back to street filming, you know.
Mm-hmm. For sure.
But yeah.
In other things that you made, you also made that homie video, and I'm going to pronounce this completely wrong. Levulu.
Levulu. Yeah, that was almost correct.
Yeah. I'll take an almost. That's about as close as I'll get.
I forgot about that video actually. So that was dang, that's old.
Yeah, that was 2013, 2014, like first year of Sava-ish, something like that, I believe.
That makes sense. Like I can't recall what year it was, mm-hmm. but I remember it was one of the year where Icon Snowskate were making those Go Snow Skating Days, like contest or how do you call them? Like the list of tricks, like you have to do.
Yeah, the task list. Yep.
Yeah, so a bunch of ambition riders like Josh Chagain and I can't remember who, but some people were in Sherbrooke that week, and we didn't know like what to do that day. I'm like, dude, like it's Go Snow Skating Day. At least just like we should just go and have fun and try mm-hmm. to do that list, like. It's going to be fun. So I brought my camera, like filmed a bunch of shenanigans that day. And we ended up like just not doing the list at all, just creating our own like task and stuff.
Right. And, watching Josh Segui just get destroyed over and over on that wooden plank drop.
Dude, I forgot about that too. Yeah, that was so funny. He tried it again. Like he tried to drop in that tube or whatever it was, like that piece of wood, and it broke. And he just placed it back, went up there, tried it again, and it broke again. And I was like, dude, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And he tried it a third time, and it worked.
Guy's wild.
Yeah, dedication.
No, it was such a cool, like, homie video, because you just don't see that many of those in snow skating. And videos like what Wooly Mittens and what Awkward is doing is just the best.
Yes.
So to see you, like, put your own spin on that was really fun. And especially, like, not properly accrediting all of the riders and using fake names and being inconsistent with everything. It just made everything so much fun.
Yeah, like every time like someone would like appear in the video, it was a new name, like Steve, and then the second time, I don't know, like Eric,
yeah.
It was not Eric. And I just remember like my goal for that video was, so you remember the Awkward videos from earlier?
Totally, yep.
Made by Josh Chagain and Rob Provo, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So those were super sick videos, like super, I don't know, creative stuff. And I really liked those videos. And one year they just stopped making it. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, shit, like you guys should do more of these.
Right.
And that video was kind of like a tribute to this. Mm-hmm. I try to kind of mimic their style a little bit and put Josh again as much as I could in the video.
And it turned out so good too, and especially, you know, paying homage to Rob by using his music in the video too. Dude, it turned out great. It was such a good video.
Yeah, I think I reused one of the songs because it was so funny.
Yeah.
yeah,
so cool, so cool. But other than that, what are you up to today? So you're doing the maple Sugar Shack in the summer, working for Ambition in the winter, and you mentioned that you just had a baby as well.
Yep, so that's what I've been up to. So I'm done with my parental leave as we speak.
Okay.
Like it's my last day last night today. It's been 5 weeks.
Okay.
My daughter is 6 weeks old now. So going back to work pretty soon.
Okay.
I might take it easy still because I'm working from home, so I'm making my own schedule. I worked more than expected during the leave. I had to work a little bit too.
Okay.
So yeah, going back to work soon, and everything's going great, man. Daughter is growing up super fast, gaining some weight. Now 10 and a half pound.
Okay.
She was 6 and a half, not more than a few weeks ago, six weeks ago. Mm-hmm. Everything's going super great. The Sugar Shack, as you mentioned, we have a lot of projects going on at the moment. We just had some government financial support to change a lot of equipment. Everything, a lot of stuff was pretty old. Like, my parents bought it more than 20 years ago.
Okay.
So we were changing our main, like, big boiler, which is a huge piece. A lot of equipment. We just had a lot of support from the government to change this, since we're in a agriculture business, or whatever it's called in English.
Mm-hmm.
And so that kept me busy a lot in the last fall. Like, so much paperwork, since it's dealing with the government. You have no idea.
Sure.
How much meeting with people and paperwork we had to do, but it obviously worth it, because we're changing so much stuff.
Right. And yeah, imagine between the Sugar Shack and the baby, you're staying, and Ambition, you're staying very, very busy as of late.
Yeah, I guess. doing my best to make it work with everything.
Mm-hmm. If you don't have a full part this coming year, I don't think anybody's going to blame you for that, Phil.
Oh, yeah. I have a few tricks filmed from last season, and I went out as much as I could, like, earlier this season.
Sure.
I got two or three tricks, but my daughter also came up 3 weeks earlier than expected.
Oh, okay.
So that ended the season, like, super quick.
Right.
But I'm going to, like, now that I'm going back to work, everything's going fine, I think I'm going to go out and try to film some tricks. I still have some stuff in me. I really want to try some new spots in town I want to hit. And I don't know if I can put out a full part this year, but I'll do my best to have the most clip I can.
Right. It's all you can do.
Yeah, we're not really sure if the video is going to come out next year or the year after that.
Okay.
So if it comes out the year after that, well, that gives me another year to film a part. So maybe.
Yeah, there you go.
There are chances of a full part, but it's hard, man, these days.
No, totally.
Snowskating is not the same.
Right. It's hard to get tricks, and everyone's busy. I mean, you got full-time job, you got a baby. I mean, very understandable. And
the level of snow skating, you know, back in the days in the Live You Lou era, you would just film everything you see, just point the camera and make an edit.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's a little harder to get some really good tricks.
Right.
But I guess it's a good thing, you know. Sports is evolving. Mm. Snow skating is getting really, really gnarly these days.
Right. No, totally.
What's your daughter's name?
Lauren.
Can we look for her on a snow skate maybe in like 10 years?
Yeah, Alex actually suggested maybe she could be the first female pro snow skater.
Oh, yeah.
Cool. Would be awesome.
Yeah.
She actually stepped foot on a snow skate twice.
No way. Oh, cool. Okay.
Old year, of course, but that's a good start.
Yeah. All right. If Lisa Fowler doesn't beat her to it, though.
Oh, yeah. She is actually going for it.
Dude, she's so good, man. I'm so hyped on her Instagram footage.
Mm. Yeah, maybe there'll be buddies, snow skate buddies.
Yeah, for sure. Right. You can go toe-to-toe one day.
There is one story I think I forgot to mention.
Oh, yeah. Let's get into it.
In one of those Kalamazoo team trip that we did with the Ambition crew, I think it was the first one, the first big team trip in Keizu. So we were at the beach rail. This spot doesn't exist anymore.
Best rails, man. Like the one that...
The spot by the river.
Oh, so good.
So people, like, guys wanted to skate the rail there. Obviously, I'm not that much of a rail skater, so I didn't skate the rail. So I was just goofing around in the hill next to it. And I had the brand new board, like, super fast, like, fresh board that I had just gripped. And I think right when we got there, like, in the first minutes, I think people were still walking to the spot. I just ollied into that hill and like wiped on my back, and the board just flew and went all the way up on the river, like in the middle of this frozen river. And I'm like, oh shit. And I looked at Alex, and like you could see, like he was really not hyped. Like, Phil, I just gave you this board. Like, it was the first session with it. I'm like, oh shit, man, so bummed. So we kind of tried to walk to it, but the river, like the ice was not thick enough. Like, it was just crack, and it was so slushy, and it was definitely not frozen enough to walk on it. So we're like, all right, like, I just lost a board. That sucks. Like, don't do it again, Phil. So we went back to Dave's place, and at night we were just talking about this, and Alan and Dave wanted to go back and get it, and Alex and I were like, dude, don't do this. Like, don't risk your life for just one board. Like, it just, you know, $100 or a couple hundred dollars. Like, don't risk your life for that. Like, it's not worth it. Come on.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, no, dude. Like, so they ended up like sneaking out the back door or something and going like without us realizing it. And then they came back with the board. Like, dude, no way. Yeah. And Alan had an extension cord like wrapped around his belly, so Dave could like hold him if ever he fell into the river. And he used two Allen's board, like fat snow skate, to like has snowshoes to walk on the river and go get it. So that night they just went there and came back with the board. Like, thanks guys. I'm really happy you did this. Obviously not worth risking your life, but I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, it's so wild. But
yeah,
man, that was the best spot in KZU before they tore it out. Like the beach rail and then the double kink that Alan did. There was so much stuff at that spot.
Yeah, oh, that double kink. Yeah, Alan was, I think I filmed him doing that double kink rail. That was gnarly.
Yeah.
And that guy too, from KZU, I think he did it on a bi-deck.
Yeah, Kyle Kearns, like the homemade bi-deck, he just hit it.
Wow.
Yeah, I tried the rail that day, and I absolutely died and didn't try it anymore. But dang, Kyle Kearns can do it on a homemade snow skate. That just shows how good that dude is.
Yeah, this guy just is good on whatever board. I think he might be a pro wake skater or something.
He's like an auto rocket, man. Like whatever he steps on, he's just pro at it.
You would see him on a snowboard, like you know, so high in the air on like method air on a huge jump. Like, he's good at whatever board,
right? And when he had those tricks in he had the tricks in Sava that just came out of nowhere, and dude, they were good,
like a quadruple kinked rail or something like that. He would just like go there, put his camera on tripod, and like film himself.
God, he was the best. It's a shame he moved to Florida and, you know, hasn't really kept skating, but or snow skating, that is. But
dang,
but
I think that that was during one of the Ambition trip, the KZU trip. Were you there that year?
I don't think I was there that year. I was there the following year of like the really big trip, not the first year where it was like the smaller trip. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
But both the second year, that was when we got all the snow in Kalamazoo and I got my car towed and all that nonsense, but it snowed so much that we couldn't really snow skate. And we went to the thrift store to get some Tabard knickknacks. I don't know if you recall.
Yeah. The French curse word mixing with the English version of it. I don't know. Yeah. It's been, dude, the thrift shopping has been part of the Ambition trips. Like every year after that.
It's important, man. Great way to get nice dry clothes too for your upcoming filming sessions. It's necessary.
Obviously, some tabernickety necks.
Yeah.
If I remember. And that's funny too. That's something we should point out. So for those who are not from Quebec and are listening to this, the square,
word?
The curse word
in
French are like weird church-related words. So some are like tabernacle or kiss or calis and everything like that. And so we do yell this when we are angry. And snow skaters started picking this up and like using our words and sometimes mixing them like taber fucking neck.
Yeah.
And then sometimes I would see like Alan trying a trick for like so long and being so mad and just like yelling Tabernak for real, like using like another language curse words. So it kind of made its way to the Snowskate team. It's funny that way.
Oh, it is so funny. The meshing of French Canadian and American culture and how the languages interact. It's all through snow skating. It's so cool.
Mm. One thing that's funny too is Jensen Fisker grew up in Ontario, so he speaks English, but at school he had some French as a second language, like classes. Mm-hmm. So I think he had like 10 years of French classes, so he can speak French pretty good and understand pretty much everything. And whenever he come to Quebec, I would speak to him in French and he would answer to me in English, or sometimes vice versa. And then just the sentence started like going from English to French like every couple words or so. So we created our own like way of Franglish talking. So it's still going on. Every time I talk to him on like Messenger or on the phone or whatever, it's just, yo, le gros, how is it? Comment ça va? And everything like that. It just goes from Francais to English.
Oh, that's so funny, man.
Yeah. So I was saying earlier that every trip, like I would come home with a little souvenir, like on my body, like the disc bulging, like the back pain, or like, and then from that, it's just been every season. I feel I've been, or it has been cut in half, or even more, like by injuries. So, like my Sava parts, the first year it was a 2-year video. Mm-hmm. The first year, I think I broke my left ankle right before the winter, like in November. So,
and was that from snow skating or skateboarding? Or
it was from skateboarding, like kickflip down a little drop at home.
Okay,
in my hometown, like nothing super big, but anyway, it was I think I said left foot, but it was the right foot. So I broke my right ankle skateboarding in November. It took me 3 months to be able to ride, so I only started riding in February that year.
And was it, did you say this was the first year?
The first year of Sava.
So you weren't like skating on that trip at all that we were on together?
I think it was just like goofing around.
Oh man, yeah, I don't even recall that. I thought you were skating the whole time.
I mean, that was probably like 2 months later, like 2 months and a half or three.
Okay.
So I was probably like doing okay, you know?
Yeah.
But I remember it took 3 months. Like, it wasn't until I got home that I started filming and got tricks, I think.
Okay.
Maybe I'm wrong, but this is how I remember it. And it actually took 5 months to heal, well, not completely, but so I could walk up and downstairs without pain.
Okay.
So that season got like cut in half. And the season after, I was trying the backside flip down the like drop to bank. It's the ender in my part.
Yeah.
So trying that, I rolled my front ankle. And that ankle has been like, oh man, so many ankle sprains since I was 17, I think, my first one. Mm-hmm. And since then, every 6 months or so, I would just roll it again. Every like once in the summer, once in the winter, once in the summer, mm-hmm. once in the winter. Mm-hmm. And now it's just been like so fucked, like so flex and floppy and everything.
Hmm.
So I rolled it pretty easily. I remember one time in the summer I was skating and I rolled it and I was like, oh shit, like this is so painful now. Like this is the last time that I'm rolling this ankle, like for real, like it has to stop.
Mm-hmm.
It had probably like been like 12 plus times. So I started doing physiotherapy because I didn't know anything about that like prior to that.
Okay.
And I was like, God, I should have done that before, like, you know, strengthen it and like making it more stable and everything. So it went really well for a couple of years or 3 years. And then I rolled it just a little bit, trying to the backside flip down that drop.
Mm-hmm.
And dude, like it was not that bad. Like I walked home. It was not too far from home. So I kind of like walked home from there.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day it was just so bad. Like couldn't walk for a week or two.
Oh, wow.
So it took me a little bit to heal from that. And then I went later on the season and landed it. Super hype on this.
Yeah, for sure. That was a great trick.
Yeah. And then every season is like, sometimes I start having back pain for no reason, so I have to stop for like a couple weeks, or just a knee that starts to. Every time I go on a trip, it's so much driving, and like you don't eat that well, you don't sleep that well, so obviously like your body starts to feel like a little crappy, and sometimes I have like just a knee that is super painful and stiff, so I can't like ride for most of the trip.
Right.
So yeah, I feel like injury has been part of my snow skating life since almost day one.
Right.
So I'm having trouble filming video parts as much as I would like to, but it's part of the game, you know?
Right. Yeah. No, it's unfortunate. It sucks, but it's some part. It's the nature of what we do. You know what I mean? I mean,
yeah,
we're out there putting our bodies on the line for every trick that we're doing, you know?
Yeah, we have to deal with it. And like, I'm not complaining, you know, it's all stuff that healed kind of fast. Like, I've never had any knee like serious problem or well, obviously back problem, but it always like heal, and I can go back to riding in not that much time. Like, some people are out for like a year or more. Like, that's I've been lucky with that, but every season has been cut up short.
Yeah, for sure.
Would you say you get more injuries skateboarding or snow skating?
Hard to say.
I was just thinking about
that. I guess
that.
Both. I was
like, yeah, they're...
Yeah, well, maybe more skateboarding because, you know, snow skating, you're
in the snow.
You fall on snow. But I definitely hurt my back on snow skating the first time. The first time I heard it, it was snow skating. And it obviously was not just that. It's like years and years of snowboarding, skateboarding, and snow skating, and all these impacts. Like, and then I was 21 year old then when it first happened.
Okay.
I've been snowboarding since I was 8. So, you know, I never, that's what the chiropractor told me. Like, you never take breaks. Like, people that snowboard have the summer off, you know, people that skateboard mostly have the winter off.
Right.
I would just go from skateboard to snow skate, to snowboard, to skateboard, to all year long. So that is probably why my back at some point kind of stopped working. It's 100% way.
Sure, but so I suppose that... Sorry, go ahead.
Physiotherapy, though, remind me what that is.
Oh, maybe it's not an English word, is it?
No, it is, but okay. I'm not familiar with it either.
Yeah, I don't know what the... Is it
like... Well, the way I see it is, you know, the chiropractor will, like, crack your back and, like, make you, like, fix you instantly, like, or try to. And a physiotherapist would... like give you more exercise to do to like strengthen that side of your leg, so you, when you bend that way, it doesn't go this way, and like everything is back in order.
Right.
So like, they're like a physical therapist, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is that what I was saying? Oh, maybe it's the English word, physical therapy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Made.
Yeah, that's got to be.
But we call it physiotherapy. Here.
Okay. Okay.
So gotcha. That's it.
Okay. Gotcha.
So I was overthinking it. I was like, you have this new secret therapy. Yeah.
Sorry, I might have like mixed a few words from French to English during that podcast. Sorry if I confused a few people.
No, that's okay.
My bad.
Sorry to clear that up, but yeah.
No, all of those injuries are a good enough reason for us to not really skate big impacts anymore as we get older. We can save all the jumping down the 12 and 14 stairs to the Yum Bucks coming up.
Yeah. And one other reason I forgot to mention for the Sugar Shack part is, like, you know, these days you've seen the latest videos, like Dave and Josh Oaks and all these guys, and like the rail and the stuff they do, it's just so crazy these days. So
right.
I figured like I could try my best to film a part of like stairs and rails and stuff, and even doing that, it would take like all my energy and all my back pain to do this, and it would be like, I feel like it would be just like the throwaway of like what Josh and Dave can put out in super easily. So I feel like maybe I should do some stuff that is more fun, related, more relatable to most people out there.
Yeah, and that's why we love watching Phil Moreau skate. I mean, your parts have always had that, like, fun and energy, like, youthful vibe, not to sound too cliche, but, I mean, you're doing whatever you want in your snow skate parts. It's awesome. Like, you do a boneless and you literally yell boneless when you're doing it. Like, that's so cool. You
know? Thanks, man.
Yeah, Sugar Shack really, really took the cake on that one, too, because it's just, like he said, like, tying in, like, fun stuff like that, but also in the, like, locale and, like, using the props of, like, your equipment.
There's some clips of my homies, too, from my hometown just coming out there, having fun with us. Like, I made sure to put some clips of my friends there, too. Everyone that came out there and ride with me. And like you mentioned, like, it was just me doing whatever I wanted. And I think it's always been like that for me in snow skating. Like, it was just me and my tripod at home, like, at first. Like, just riding for fun, not trying to be sponsored, just because it's what I'd like to do. Like, I didn't have any indoor skate park. I wanted to do some kickflips and bonelesses. So
yeah.
Go out there and I like doing videos. I would just go out there and make the videos like how I liked it and doing the tricks how I liked. And I guess you can kind of see this in the videos that I do right now.
Totally. Yeah, the uniqueness really pops out. I mean, some of the stuff you've done, like Nolly lasers, like board slide nollie heel in Safari Time, you did that like backboard shove it to board slide again. You had like the board slide to varial flip. I mean, it goes on, like all this unique stuff that you come up with and bring to snow skating. That's like such a breath of fresh air compared to like, and there's nothing wrong with like, you know, snow skating like you're skateboarding, because obviously that stuff's super gnarly too. But to see that side of it is something that at least me personally, I'm super into, and I know a lot of people like watching.
And that's also like what I like in skateboarding. Like, I've been watching skate videos for what, like 15 plus years now.
Mm-hmm.
And it always impresses me that even today I can like just go on Instagram or YouTube and like watch a video and see tricks that I've never seen before and never thought of.
Right.
Like Chris Aslam just put out a new park.
Oh, yeah. So great tricks.
And it's like, I've been watching so many skate videos for 15 years, and I never even thought of like that. Like, someone's like, skateboarding has been like going on for I don't know how many years, like what, 50 years and maybe more. And there are still new stuff that like new tricks that people come up with every day or every time I watch the internet. So that's really amazed me. And I try to do a bit of this in my snow skating, I guess.
Right. No, it comes off awesome, Phil. It's much appreciated. Like, yeah. I mean, there's a reason why like Chris Haslam and even Rodney Mullen, like, you know, his early years were of course innovating and creating like a lot of the modern tricks that we're doing, but the later years doing like, you know, Caspers and dark slides and Primo slides, there's a reason that uniqueness stands out. So to see you bring some of that to snow skating is just, it's awesome.
Thanks for comparing me to Rodney Mullen.
Yeah.
You're the Rodney Mullen of snow.
It's an honor. I wouldn't say so, but thanks.
I always think of it as like, if you look at where snow skating invented in like 2000, you know, we're almost 20 years into it. And we're now kind of having, so if you think of like skateboarding in the 60s to where it was in the 70s, you know, you're talking completely different, you know, from clay wheels to urethane wheels, from flat ground style to vert style. I mean, snow skating still has a long way to go, and I think that with its roots in backyards to this new part in skate, there's still so much left to be done. And with how the technology is growing, it's just amazing.
Yeah, it still had gone a long way too since the beginning, like you said, from backyard to street,
to ride-ons,
to better video qualities too, to better tricks, to better everything. So who knows what is going to be in 10 years.
Right.
Maybe there are going to be some girls, like female pro snow skaters.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, you see what, you know, we talked about Lisa Fowler earlier, but the stuff that she's doing, hopefully, like, you know, her and your daughter can hopefully
being on the team in 10 years.
Yeah, for sure. Throw down some bangers and stack some footage. No, it'd be sick. It'd be awesome.
I definitely plan to build a backyard park in my backyard and you know, just snow skate there with the family, get my girl onto a board and then teaching her how to have fun. Yeah, that is definitely so cool. My plans for the next year is trying to. So you've been to the Midwest Open contest, of course.
Yep.
And you've seen all this, like, park and the wood.
Yeah.
That is one of my goals for the future. Just create a nice park like this so I can just.
That's my goal, too.
Yeah. Like, go outside, take my board, like, walk a few feet, and then just ride whatever obstacle I want. It'll all be there.
Totally. Totally.
Are you going this year to MMO?
Oh, no, obviously because of my daughter.
Ah,
just,
yeah.
Just arrived in my life, so right. I'm going to take some more time home. Okay. But yeah, probably later next year or in a couple of years. Definitely want to go back there. It was the like most fun time I've had snow skating, probably the two times I've been there.
Totally.
I don't know if other people talked about this Midwest Open in the podcast.
But, a little bit. Not the most modern one, but...
Yeah, maybe I'll let Phil Smaggi talk about this if ever he goes on the podcast or someone
he'll
else.
He'll be on it.
It's been the most fun times, and the park, too, is super good, so...
It's the best, man.
The Sugar Shack part was actually inspired by that park.
Oh, like, awesome.
The wooden obstacles. It was definitely Phil Smaggi inspired.
Sick.
Shout out to Phil Smaggi.
Phil Smaggi's the best, man. Big shout out.
The man of, how can I say this? Every day is a Saturday with him.
Yeah.
The seven Saturdays a week, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's such an inspiration, man. Great quote. He's the best.
Yeah.
Remember that when you picked me up in Chicago at Midwest and we listened to the Hot Rod audio on your iPod?
Dude, I'm so glad you pointed that out. That's been like a tradition for me.
Oh, really?
I think Hot Rod... I think one time when... The first time I met Phil Smaggi, he went to Sherbrooke, and we watched Hot Rod with Rico. I think it was at Rico's place. So we watched Hot Rod together, like, laugh a bunch, and then we went to the bar, got drunk, like, had so much fun that night. And then... after that, every time I was seeing Phil, we were just like quoting Hot Rod and talking about that movie. And then I realized Zach L. Warden was a super big fan of that movie too. So every like on every Ambition trip, we were just like watching Hot Rod, quoting Hot Rod. And then obviously with all the trips, there's so much driving.
Mm-hmm.
So I put Hot Rod on my iPod. And every time I would go like for a long car ride, like every trip, I would listen to the audio of Hot Rod. And I've seen that movie so many times that I can like just picture in my head every scene when I just listen to the audio. So it's just as funny and as fun as like watching it for real. So when I picked you up, that was for the Midwest Open, the first time I went there, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And I drove, like I started like from my place in Quebec. I drove like 8 hours, picked up Jensen in Ontario, drove probably another 8 hours, picked up Zach and Keizu, probably slept there for one night, left the next morning, picked you up in Chicago, drove another, what, like 4 hours maybe?
Yeah, it was like 4 hours.
So yeah, and then went to Midwest, and that's when we listened to the Hot Rod audio to continue the tradition.
I didn't know that was a tradition. That's great, though. I just remember like sitting in the back seat and you just putting it on the iPod and there's no screen anywhere. We were just listening to the audio and I was confused, but I was like, oh, this is still funny. And like we were all quoting it or whatever. Oh, that was a blast.
And you know what? I still do it like these days whenever I go to a trip with my homies, like a skate trip on down the east coast of the States or wherever we go. It's just Hot Rod every time, at least once during every trip.
Oh, that's great. That's great.
And that one time in that I picked you up in Chicago to go to Midwest, that was another of my really long drive. I drove that. I think it was something like 22 hours drive to go to Midwest for like one weekend and another like 20 something hours drive just to go back home.
Oh, wow.
So it was something like 4,500 kilometers in what, like 5 days or like
holy cow.
2 days of driving and 2 days of being there, I guess.
That's crazy. Phil, you got to start looking into flying places, man.
I started flying to other places later on when, you know, being more involved with Ambition, and then Alex started paying flights for me. A couple years ago, last winter, I flew to BC to meet Jensen and do that extreme video thing.
Oh, I don't know if you've seen it. Yeah.
We could talk about this.
Yeah.
Extreme.
So how it happened is I got a message on Instagram, like DM. So one lady from Extreme Video, it's like a extreme sport video company from Europe, I think. And so they just reached out to me and saying, hey, we are doing this series, like this TV series of extreme sports, and we're trying to find some people that can bring one sport, and like because of the change of element, like skateboarding and snow, like bring their sport to another element, you know, like skateboarding and snow skating.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like looking for riders that could both skateboard and snow skate. And I think they reached out to like a bunch of the Ambition riders, and not everyone could do it. And I guess I could do it, and Jensen too. So they were like, all right, like it's you too. Like you guys, we should do this. Where should we do it? And I figured Jensen lived in BC. There was the most chance of having snow and a place to skate, like in the same area, because there are the mountains there.
Mm-hmm.
So they flew me there, and it was so like last minute. So they paid for like a super expensive ticket, which I'm really grateful for. But it was like something like $1,700. Like,
oh, wow.
Or maybe a little less, but like for the round trip.
And that was Montreal to Vancouver, I assume?
Montreal to Calgary. Then I had another flight, like a really small plane from Calgary to another small town in BC.
Hmm.
I think it was, I can't remember the city. No, I can't recall, but a really small town in BC. Hmm. So that one flight was like a super small plane, like smaller than a bus.
Oh, wow.
So you just like walked out the airport, like they would walk you to that plane, and you take the, not the ladder, but like some little stairs up to it. And it's just one row of seat each side of the corridor in the middle.
Oh, wow.
So it was super loud and like bumpy and sketchy, like the most sketchiest flight I've taken ever. So anyway, they flew me there for 4 days, I think, to make that video. It was super, or 3 days maybe. It was super fast, and they paid us a good amount, like $1,000 American to do that. So it's super high. It was just, it happened in a really bad time. Like I had so much work to do that. Period of time was the worst, like the most busy period of the year with the snow skate sales and everything.
Mm-hmm.
So we're like, I told them like, I'm super down to do this, but I'm gonna take this flight and like this flight home so I can be home like as soon as possible to finish my work.
Yeah.
So that's why it was expensive, but they were super down anyway. So it worked out well. They filmed this little episode of like skating and snow skating, and they basically just told us like, just sit there and talk to him and look there and like say this. And that was funny. And we tried a snow skate, and it's been slushy, like really warm for the whole period of time I was there. So it kind of sucked for that. Like we couldn't really do tricks that we wanted to do.
Sure.
Because of that. Mm. And it kind of rained, I think, or it snowed. Ooh. Like super slushy snow. So we couldn't skate outside too. So we had to skate at the indoor park.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, kills. I flew there. Yeah.
Phil, it's been a pleasure, man. Really appreciate you taking your time out of your night doing this. But before we wrap up, Andrew, you got any shout-outs today?
I got nothing.
I'll do a quick shout-out to Insight Brewing. They should... Hopefully someone is listening to this that knows someone at Insight and can sponsor this, because we're drinking Insight beer every podcast. So
I had some green tea on my own if you ever want a green tea sponsor.
No, we should have the Sugar Shack sponsor the podcast. Oh, your maple syrup is the best maple syrup I've ever had. So good.
Thanks a lot, man. It's actually organic, and it's all made by myself and my family.
Oh, it's delicious.
So it's made with love. That's probably why.
We'll talk advertising after the podcast.
Yeah. Yeah, the the Morrow Maple Farm Inc. sponsoring the Wet Sox podcast.
Yeah. Yeah.
Presented by Mirabliere Morrow Inc. Yeah.